Hallelujah. Let's pray over the word tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, I love you, Lord, and I thank you for your word, and I pray for revelation knowledge to flow through this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, how many of you were here last week? Because you need to listen to that message, amen? God gave us a word about restoring the years, amen, that the locusts have eaten. And as I was all week long, I kept feeling like I was to continue with that, but it's going to have a little bit of a twist to it, amen? Because we're going to see that Jesus came, and he did bring restoration. Thank God he brought restoration, amen? And we know the story of the Bible, Adam and Eve, where God created Adam and Eve, they came in the garden, and then the sin problem entered in, amen? Basically, what sin is basically disobeying God, not doing what God told them to do. God told them, don't eat of the tree, they ate of the tree, and then so forth, and then Noah, and so on, and so on. Sin was there. And thank God for Jesus, because he came and redeemed us from the results of sin. And so I'm gonna start a little bit about what we talked about last week. Remember last week we talked about Mephibosheth and how Saul was the bad king, David was the good king, and David came along, and David and Jonathan, Saul's son, were really good friends, okay? Jonathan was David's armor bearer, he loved David, and but his dad was King Saul, and so forth. And so anyhow, Saul died and Jonathan died, and David loved Saul. David loved Jonathan. Even though Saul was a bad king, David did not want to hurt Saul, and he loved Jonathan. But the lineage, the king and his son died. And so David begins to look for anybody that's in the lineage, anybody that is Saul's grandson or Jonathan's son. And I'm going to pick this up, okay? I'm going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. And then we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to read some scripture tonight. Say scripture. Like good portions. So if I believe if you'll stay with this and you'll pay attention, you'll get something tonight. This is a message that really has totally and completely set me free over my years as far as my position in the kingdom of God. Amen? And your position. So let's look at verse 4. It says, Saul's son Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth. Say Mephibosheth. You don't have to do that. Who was crippled as a child. He was 5 years old when Saul and Jonathan were killed at the Battle of Jezreel. So he was Saul's grandson, he was Jonathan's son. When news of the battle reached the capital, the child's nurse grabbed him and fled, but she fell and dropped him as she was running, and he became crippled as a result. Now I want to skip over to 2 Samuel chapter 9, okay? And we're going to read this story, okay? We'll start with verse 1. It says, one day David began wondering if anyone in Saul's family was still alive. He had promised Jonathan that he would show kindness to them. He summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? The king asked. Yes, sir, I am, Ziba replied. The king then asked him, is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them in any way that I can. Ziba replied, yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive, but he is crippled. Where is he? The king asked. In Lodabar. Remember last week we found out that Lodabar meant no Bible, no word? He's in Lodabar. Ziba told him, at the home of Michal, son of Ammiel. So David sent for him and brought him from Michal's home. His name was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. When he came to David, he bowed low in great fear and said, I am your servant. And the reason why he bowed low in great fear is when a king took over the kingdom, they always killed the lineage, because they killed anybody that had anything to do with the previous king, because they didn't want a coup or anything like that, right? And so he was afraid. But David said, Don't be afraid. I've asked you to come so that I can be kind to you because of my vow to your father. Jonathan, I will give you all the land that once belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you may live here with me at the palace. Here was this young man who comes to Jonathan, who is afraid because all the kingdoms, everybody knows, they kill the lineage. He comes in fear. The reason he's crippled is because the nurse that he had when he was young when she heard that Saul was dead and that David was taking over the kingdom, she ran with him and he tripped and he became crippled. You know, sometimes we want to blame things that happen to us, maybe on our moms or our dads or our situations or blame God, but you know, we live in this world and things happen, amen? And so this young man, he became crippled at his feet because of this nurse that was running with fear, actually trying to save his life. But David said, verse 7 again, don't be afraid. I've asked you to come so that I can be kind to you because of my vow to your father. Say, my father. I will give you all the land that once belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you may live here with me at the palace. Verse 8, Mephibosheth fell to the ground before the king. Should the king show such kindness to a dead dog like me, he explained. You know, so many times we go before God and we act like Mephibosheth. God, I'm just a nothing, no worthy. I'm just nobody. Should you show your kindness to me? We're going to show you, we're going to show you another situation. But it's almost like a picture of many people when they come into the kingdom of God or they're serving God after so many years, and because they're not perfect, because they don't do everything right, they're not coming to God as a king's kid, but they're coming to God feeling like Mephibosheth feels here all the time. And you know, what if your kids did that all the time? You know, and they came to you, oh, can I have dinner tonight? Oh, I feel so bad, I'm just a dead dog. I'm so sorry, Mom and Dad, I'm just so, you know. We don't want our kids to do that, do we? Amen? And so Mephibosheth fell to the ground before the king. Should the king show such kindness to a dead dog like me, he exclaimed. Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. Now he didn't have to do this, David. But he gave him everything that belonged to his dad and King Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him to produce food for his family. So here was Mephibosheth who was crippled, and David searched him out and showed kindness to him and gave all these servants to him to farm the land for him. He restored all of his land to him, but Mephibosheth will live here at the palace with me. Ziba, who had 15 sons and 20 servants, how would you like to have 20 servants? Yeah. Pretty nice, huh? Could use a few to clean my house. Hallelujah. Yes, my lord, I will do all that you have commanded. And from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly with David as though he were one of his own sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and from then on, all the members of Ziba's households were Mephibosheth's servants. And Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet, moved to Jerusalem to live in the palace. Wow. Listen, this is such an awesome story. You know, God didn't cause Mephibosheth to be lame. A lot of times we think when somebody's going through a hard situation, or cancer comes, or divorce comes, or mess, we think, well, God has sent this to you. God didn't cause Mephibosheth to be lame. The nurse was running and he tripped. You know what I'm saying? People, God didn't cause that guy to hit your car and mess up your car. We live in this world and things happen. God doesn't cause the storms, but he says there will be storms in this life. Amen? Yeah. And so there are things that happen. Now, David's goal was to restore Mephibosheth of everything. Everything that had been stolen from him, David wanted to restore. And do you know that Jesus came to restore everything to you and I? And let me ask you this question. What did Mephibosheth do to deserve this? He did nothing to deserve this. It was done because of his father's sake. Now, when we get born again, you didn't deserve to be forgiven. But when you were born into the kingdom of God, you were not only forgiven, but you were made a king. You were made royalty. The blood of Jesus runs through you. Amen? A lot of times we define our potential in our world by where our father has positioned us. Amen? If you have a Rockefeller as your father, you know what I'm saying? And you're positioned to go to the best schools and the best education and shop at the best stores. Or maybe, you know, you had just a normal kind of guy and you shopped at Kmart and the dollar store. A lot of times we relate to those things. But our dad, amen, is our father in heaven, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And do you know what the name Mephibosheth means? It means an exterminator of shame. He felt shame he was crippled. He felt shame. He felt like a poor old dead dog. But God has not created us to feel that way. And so many people, do you know that is exactly the plan that the enemy would want you to feel like? Because when you feel that way and you identify, we'll use that word since the world uses it, and you identify with the worst worm in the world, you cannot go into the throne room boldly. God said if you need help in the time of need, to come boldly into the throne room. And I'll tell you, when you go boldly into somewhere to obtain help in the time of need, that you're not going to come with your head hanging between your legs. Amen? Just, you know, oh God, here I am. Now, don't get me wrong. We worship God. He's the King of Kings. He is the Holy God of heaven. But his relationship, he is the one that has restored our relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. He chose it. He chose to love us. He chose to send his son, Jesus Christ. And so he has restored to you and I everything that the devil has stolen from us. Now, I want to show you something tonight. I want you to look at Deuteronomy 28. Amen? And the reason why, listen to this before you go there. Mephibosheth was restored and given all the land of his dad and all the land of his grandfather. The reason why was because of his father. His father was best friends with David. He was for his father's sake. Amen? And Jesus came and did what David did for Mephibosheth for us, because of his father. Because of his father. Amen? Because of his father's love for us. Now let's look over in Deuteronomy for a few minutes. People kind of get, you know, they kind of kick this message out the door. Oh, that's grace. Oh, we got to be repent. Everybody wants to live in the repentant moment forever and ever and ever. And I'm not saying we shouldn't repent. You know, I'm not saying when we mess up, we shouldn't ask God to forgive us. But you shouldn't have to wait till tomorrow morning. If you do something wrong tonight, you just talk to God. You ask him to forgive you. I'm sorry, Lord. If your kid comes in and he's done something so bad, and your daughter or your son comes in and says, I'm sorry, Mommy. And they hug you. Are they restored? You want to give them the world. You're going to give them the chocolate cake that you have hidden in the back of the refrigerator for 1 o'clock in the morning when they're all sleeping. You're thinking about what you can go and buy them the next day. Well, God's mercy is greater than ours. His love is greater than ours. His love is greater than King David. His kindness that he has extended towards us is greater than King David's kindness that was extended toward Mephibosheth. Amen? He is, our Father is the exterminator of shame. And so many people live in shame for just things, for anything, even people in the kingdom. Well, I messed up. Well, I watched this show, or I didn't pray enough, or I did this. And yes, God wants you to be forgiven, but he just wants you to step right back into your place that he created for you. You didn't deserve it. You didn't do anything to deserve it. So what makes you think that you can be get in a greater standing with God today when you didn't deserve it in the first place? He chose to forgive us. He chose to deliver us. So let's look at let's look at Deuteronomy 28. I want to show you something here about being redeemed from the curse of the law and what the curse is all about. Okay? Moses sets it up with God that basically when we read this, you get what you deserve. That's the old covenant. Amen? And it makes sense, right? That if you do something wrong, you get what you deserve. If you fully obey all God's commands, you're going to get the blessing. If you don't, then the curse is going to come on you. Amen? And Satan's going to get in there, and he's going to have a foothold. That is old covenant. You get what you deserve in the kingdom of God. Amen? And so Jesus, Jesus got what he deserved both ways. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. In the first way, he fully obeyed all commands and attained for you the blessing that is spoken over you in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, which is what we're about to read. And he was the only one that could do it. He obtained it for you, and he obtained it for me that we would be blessed in the city and blessed in the store. Let me show you. Deuteronomy 28, starting with verse 1. Now God's talking to them. He's talking to Moses. This is all getting set up with the children of Israel. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God. Now remember, this is old covenant. We're living in a new covenant with better promises. If you fully obey the Lord your God by keeping all the commands I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will exalt you above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in your towns and in the country. Sounds good, right? Yep. You'll be blessed with many children and productive fields. You'll be blessed with fertile herds and flocks. You'll be blessed with baskets overflowing with fruit and with kneading bowls filled with bread. You'll be blessed wherever you go, both in coming and in going. Is God a respecter of persons? No. Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
These promises are for you and I as well. These blessings are for you. And a lot of people look at the blessings and they say, well, I just must be doing something wrong. I must be like a dead dog, like Mephibosheth felt. I must be so bad why I'm not walking in these blessings. And as we continue to talk about this, you're going to see that the blessings just come by faith, not by your actions. And we get confused. We can mess this up. Verse 5, he says, you'll be blessed with baskets overflowing with fruit, with kneading bowls filled with bread. You will be blessed wherever you go, both in coming and in going. The Lord will conquer your enemies. I like that one. When they attack you, they will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. Amen. We are in a spiritual battle. We do get attacked. Verse 8, the Lord will bless everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he solemnly promised to do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you an abundance of good things in the land he swore to give to your ancestors, many children, numerous livestock, and abundance and abundant crops. That blessing, Jesus got it. He was the one that lived perfectly. He fully obeyed God, and he got the prize. He got the trophy. And then he said, I won the blessing. And then he said, I'm going to give it to everybody who believes in me. Something happens when we become born again. And I'm gonna read the curse here. People are going, oh, you gotta go, well, what about the curse there? And all of that. And if we don't obey God, the curse is gonna come on us. I'm gonna tell you right now that Jesus took care of the curse. Listen, you read your Bible. I was reading, man, I read Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, in like 2 days. And I just wanted to weep. I wanted to say, why didn't these children of Israel, I wanted to smack them, just get it right, you know? Look what Jesus did for them, you know? Look what God did for them. And so, but this is where the mercy of God comes in. This blessing was promised to us, amen? Now, the children of Israel, they were always trying to obey God. And they had to bring sacrifice after sacrifice and you know, just sacrifice blood on the altar. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And they never could get it right. What makes you think we're going to get it right? Is it the perfect person that's going to walk in these blessings? Is it the person that's going to do everything right? Is it the person that you know, like, it's just... You know, okay, what is everything right? You know, let's say we pray 2 hours a day, we go to church, we never sin, we don't miss it, we don't get mad at anybody, we don't lie or cheat or steal, or, you know, we follow all the Ten Commandments, you know. How do you measure sin? Sin is sin. But you know what the good news is Jesus dealt with the sin problem, and he didn't just deal with the sin problem by washing it away. He also dealt with the results of sin. He also dealt with the results of disobedience. Let's go and read the curse here for a minute, okay? And then there's not much more scripture after this. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures in Galatians. Look at this in starting with Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. It says, if you listen to these commands of the Lord your God and carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always have the upper hand. You must not turn away from any of the commands I'm giving you today to follow after other gods and worship them. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands, say all the commands, and the laws I am giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. You will be cursed in your towns and in the city, cursed with baskets empty of fruit and with kneading bowls empty of bread. You'll be cursed with few children and barren fields. You'll be cursed with infertile herds and flocks. You'll be cursed wherever you go, both in coming and in going. The Lord himself will send against you curses, confusion, disillusionment in everything you do, until at last you are completely destroyed for doing evil and forsaking me. Now, a lot of this is if you read this in a causative sense, it means that God will allow these things for disobeying. This is what he was telling them. I'm going to just allow these things to happen. The Lord will send diseases among you until none of you are left in the land you are about to enter and occupy. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought and with blight and mildew. Sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Let's go down in, it says, these devastations will pursue you until you die. In verse 25, it says, the Lord will cause you to be defeated by your enemies. You will attack your enemies from one direction, but you will scatter from them in seven. You will be an object of horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And then it just goes on. It just gets worse and worse. And so, honestly, reading this, if we're living in the old covenant and we mess up, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's all these terrible things. And so we begin to blame ourselves. Well, I didn't do this right. Well, I didn't do that right. Well, maybe that's why this happened to me. Listen, we live in a world where Satan's the god of this world. And just because things are not perfect, just because maybe sickness has come on you or there's a financial lack or there's a situation or you lose a loved one, it doesn't mean that God is doing it. God did not cripple Mephibosheth. And people mix up. He is a God of love. Jesus, the Bible says that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed and made whole. God put our sicknesses and diseases on Jesus. But this is what happens. They got this, but what happened is, if they didn't obey, all these things were going to come on them. But if they obeyed, they were going to be blessed. And yet when you read the Bible, when you read through the scriptures, it doesn't seem like they could obey. You know? There was a few obedient ones, but even David messed up. He had a heart after God. And people talk about the wonderfulness of David, but David really messed up, man. He planned that adultery. Just go and read the story again. He planned the murder of her husband. But the Bible said David had a heart after God. Does this mean that we should, we're okay, we can sin? No, when you sin, it's like, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to disobey God? Why wouldn't you want to obey God? But the thing is in our fleshly nature, we don't have the ability to do everything perfect, do we? And that's why Jesus had to go to the cross, because we couldn't make it right. They couldn't make it right in the Old Testament. They kept sacrificing over and over. They kept coming every year to atone for their sins. There's nobody in this world that can make it right. And so God sent Jesus. Now, we just read about the curse. Now, let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, okay? We'll start with verse 10. It says, but those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all these commands that are written in God's book of the law. Consequently, it is clear that no one can ever be right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. It is through faith that we have life. You see, the law, the Ten Commandments, they just couldn't be obeyed. Amen? It says no one can ever be right through them. Verse 12, how different from this way of faith is the way of law, which says, if you wish to find life by obeying the law, you must obey all of its commands. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. He rescued us from that curse that I just read to you. He rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on the tree. Amen? See, a lot of people don't understand what it means to be redeemed from the curse. The curse is in Deuteronomy. The curse is, it says if you don't obey God, these things are going to happen to you. But Jesus did the obeying for us. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that. Oh, so we can just live anyway. No, you're not gonna reap the blessings of God if you live any way you want to. When you love God, you want to pray, you want to seek his face, you don't want to be a liar and a cheater. The Apostle Paul said, imitate me as I imitate him. We want to be imitators of God. But for the most part, most people are living under condemnation. The Bible says there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Amen? Who follow after the Spirit. See, but even those of us that do follow, even those of us that are hungry for God, there is people that are seeking God and praying and going to church every week. And their prayer life is in shambles because they just don't feel worthy to go in and spend time. They feel like Mephibosheth. If we realize the bigness of what God has done for us, basically the blood of Jesus has erased our sin. Amen. It has erased the curse and the punishment. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the blood of Jesus has erased that punishment. That is not that's why Jesus went to that cross, to reconcile us to God. The Bible says we're a new creation when we're born again. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. The Bible says also that we have been made the righteousness of God, which means we've been made the goodness of God. And sometimes it's so hard to comprehend, to think, you know what? I messed up. But I'm not the old person anymore. God has forgiven me, and I'm the goodness of God. I'm the righteousness of God because he chose to make me. It's not by your works. You know, you could go extreme the other way, and you got these people that are holier than thou, and they, you know, they're good. They go to church all the time. They do this. They're just so, like, absolutely, you know, they just have this, you know, they do seem to do everything right. But their goodness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. There's not one person that has not sinned. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I'm telling you, God's love was bigger than David's love. And he's saying, I want you to come and sit at the table with me every day. You know, David, you know, when you hear about kings or King Arthur's men, you know, they want the mightiest men sitting at the table, and David had Mephibosheth there every day. Come and sit in the palace with me. God is wanting us to come and sit in the palace. God is wanting us to walk in the blessings and receive that we're blessed coming in and we're blessed going out, that we're the head and not the tail, that we're above and not beneath, that our enemies are scattered. He wants us to receive these things by faith. Amen? And I'll tell you, when I received this years ago, And I remember sharing it with Pastor, and he's like, I don't know about that, you know. Like, I was actually Pastor Maureen had ministered a message on it, and I was so set free. I'm like, Jesus took, I don't have to do penance. I don't have to pray for 20 days to get in the goodness of God, to get in right standing. I am already in right standing. When we become born again, we are in right standing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, what he did for us was amazing. I think about it all the time. He took upon himself. Why in heaven's name would he go to the cross? Why would he take our sins upon himself and all the punishment for our sin? He didn't just take our sins. He took the punishment. He took the curse of the law upon himself. And you just read what the curse of the law was. And then say, you got to do it too. You got to pay the price too. Well, you got to pay the price for that. You know, you've been lying all those years. You really messed up. You've been stealing. You messed up. You did this. You did that. I mean, we don't have to pay the price for our sin. How much would we have to? How much penance do we have to do? Should we do 20 Our Fathers? Or should we do two? Or should we pray for a month before we can? Should we like, oh, I better pray and study a month before I can get in the presence of God? No. He made a way for you and I every day to get into the presence of God. He made a way for you and I to step on the devil's head. He is below our feet. We are the head and not the tail. He made a way for you and I to have victory and not to live depressed, not to live with just, you know, oh, we're in church, we're fighting a good fight of faith, we're trying to do this and we're trying to do that. Well, show me your fruit. Because the devil's always trying to steal our fruit, and the biggest way he can do it, he's gonna bring condemnation. He's gonna make you feel less than. He's gonna make you feel you're never good enough. But I'm telling you, if you never did a good thing, but you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've been transferred into the kingdom. You're good enough because He made you good enough. We have a book that we give away as a free gift, and we ran out of them, but we're working on getting some more. But it's a book, and it says, how good is good enough? How good is good enough? God just wants to have fellowship with us. Amen? And He wants you to understand His word and get revelation. And I'm telling you, that's totally set me free. It'll bring the joy of the Lord in your life. It'll bring so much love for Jesus. Maybe some of you, you know, sometimes, you know, love wanes. You're a Christian, you're going to church, you know you're saved, but that passionate love that you have for Jesus, it's kind of waned because you're living in that condemnation, or you're living in not good enough, or you're living in, well, I did this, oh, it's my own fault. You know, God will even fix our mistakes if we'll believe Him for it. People make mistakes. There's people that have gotten divorced, people that have made wrong investments, last week God gave us a word. He'll restore the years that the locusts have eaten, amen? And He wants to see His blessings upon His church. You know, when you read the Old Testament, you know how they knew that they were the children of God? The you know, the Philistines and all those people? Because they would see the blessing on them. They would see the blessing on them. You have been made the righteousness of God. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Everything under that curse does not belong to you. It does not belong to you. Jesus took the punishment, and if you take it, you're saying what Jesus did was not enough. You're saying what He did was not enough. And so I just, you know, like, I don't know. I sense that the Lord wanted me to bring this message for one big reason, many reasons, but one big reason is people's prayer life has just waned because they just don't feel good enough. Because they didn't do it a certain way. Well, I didn't spend a whole hour with God. I didn't do this with God. If you're talking to God all day long, if you're talking to God on your job, if you're praising God, if you're praying in the Spirit, whatever you're doing, you're fellowshipping with God. Amen? But people, they're letting their weaknesses, they're letting their mess-ups, keeping them from the presence of God. You cannot get any better in the presence of God than what Jesus has already made you. Hallelujah. You can't get any better. You can't get any better. Amen? Amen. Do you get something out of tonight?
Yes.
It's one of those things where you got to kick that spirit of religion out the door. Amen. Hallelujah. Where's my worship team? I want you to, I'm going to pray for you tonight. And I know some of you, I really believe that you need a fire starter in your prayer time, where it's not just a religious thing, but you're going in there and you're acting like Mephibosheth. You're at the king's table. You've got a bunch of servants taking care of everything for you. You're getting treated with royalty. And you know why? Because you are royalty. You are royalty. God says you're royalty. Amen. And when you're royalty, you step up. You step up to the plate. You take responsibility. You start doing things for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. I'm telling you, Jesus is knocking at the door. And he's saying, let me in, because I'll turn everything around for you. I'm the forgiveness that you need. The Bible says that Jesus said this. He said, you must be born again. Amen? You must, and the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Amen? And so we're going to pray with you right now. I'm going to ask you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When you do that, your sins are wiped away. The Bible says never, ever to be remembered again. I want you to say this prayer with me. Let's all say it together. Amen? Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you now, and I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I thank you that I'm forgiven of every sin I've ever committed, and I receive that forgiveness today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And if you said that, and you believe what you said, you're saved, and you're on your way to heaven. Amen.